Let's get our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of John, chapter number 3. John, chapter number 3, very familiar passage of Scripture. And I preached this direction on Thursday night. I'm going to continue with the thought that I started on Thursday night. And hopefully, prayerfully, be a blessing and help to us. Note John 3:16, verse number 16-17. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but we do realize that this is the time of Christmas, and Christmas is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And we understand that. We know that as believers in Christ. We understand that the purpose, the reason of Christmas, the season of Christmas, is all about Christ. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the money that's spent, but it's about the love that was given to a lost and dying world. And it's about a son that was given to pay the sin debt. We all know that. We understand that. But as we look at the Christmas season, the Christmas time, there's some things to keep in mind. And it's a time for us to meditate on some things and think about the Scripture and what God says in His Word. And it's a good time, as I said on Thursday night, it's a good time for us to prepare, make some preparation. We do a lot of preparation for Christmas. We get our trees up and get our house decorated and get the lights put up and all the things that goes on in Christmas, getting the meals prepared and getting the cupboards prepared, amen, to be cleaned out because family's coming over. and we make preparation, amen. And so in light of that, in preparation for Christmas, we need to prepare ourselves, need to prepare our hearts, and we need to prepare our minds and prepare our lives to be an example to others, amen, they may see Christ in us. And so Christmas time is a good time to remember that. And to get our minds right. We've been attacked all throughout the year. We've been burdened with troubles and trials all throughout the year. And the time of Christmas, we're coming down to the end of the year and fixing to start a new year. And we need to get our hearts and minds and our lives in tune with the Lord and start the new year off right. Amen. Go out with a bang and start off a new year doing what's well pleasing to the Lord. And having our hearts prepared, our hearts ready to serve the Lord, our minds ready to serve the Lord. And then our lives in tune with Him. And so we talked about that on Thursday night. We certainly need to make some preparation. Then we also talked about we need to do some repenting. And we talked about how even the church has been identified in Scripture several times that the church has been told that they need to repent. The church of Ephesus was told to repent. There's other churches. The church of Sardis was told to repent. It was a church that was known as a lively church, but yet they were dead to God. And so they were told to repent. We talked about that on Thursday night, how we as God's people, we need to repent. Amen. We're not above reproach. We're not above sin. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. And nobody is without sin. We all sin, either omitted sins or committed sins, but we do sin. We don't do it to intentionally. Hopefully, prayerfully, we don't do it intentionally, but we all do sin. And sometimes our minds get focused on the wrong things. Our lives go in a different direction God wants them to go in. And so therefore we need to repent of those things, get our hearts and minds and lives in tune with the Lord. And the Christmas time is a good time to think about those things, to make some preparations and to make some penance. Amen. John chapter 3 verse 16, three to verse of Scripture. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." We know that the light did come into the world, and we celebrate that on December the 25th, as being the day that Christ was born. We don't have any Scripture to back up the very day that Christ was born. We don't find anywhere in Scripture says that December 25th was the exact day of His birth. But what we do have is light came into the world. Amen. We know that He was born. We know that He came to this world, and He came for a reason and for a purpose, and that was to save sinners from a devil's hell. Amen. And we know that. And so therefore, we celebrate Christmas as being the time that Christ was born, and we give gifts to those that we love because God gave His greatest gift. And it doesn't matter, as I said before, it doesn't matter what the gift is, how much it costs. Some people get so wrapped up in the cost of the gift and want to try to outgive everybody else, and their gift's got to be more expensive than the one they're giving to. And I mean, that's a bunch of crazy hogwash. Amen. It's not about the gift, it's about the love. And some people give gifts to people they can't stand. They give gifts to people they don't want to do that, but they don't want to be talked about, so they'll give them a gift, but there's no love there. That's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about love. It's about the Savior that gave His life because He loved the sinners. And we give our life to the Lord because we love God and love the Lord for what He did for us. Amen. Amen. So it's a time to think about those things. And not only is it a time to make preparation, a time of repentance or repenting, it's also during the Christmas season, it's a time for hope. Amen. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Israel no longer longed for the day when the Redeemer would come. He came. Amen. And all throughout the Old Testament, it was prophesied that the Messiah was coming to redeem the people. And they longed for that day. Well, then that day came. Amen. Christ was born. And we know that He was born as in a lowly manger. And they sing that song about the manger. And listen, He did come. And He wasn't in a big castle. He wasn't in a big fancy place when He was born. But He came in His lowliness and His meekness and His humbleness to be our Savior. But that day did come. That longing that Israel had for the Messiah to come created a sense of expectancy. They were expecting the Messiah to come. They heard about it. They heard the prophets to preach about it. They heard the Word of God. Amen. And they knew that He was coming. They just didn't know when He was coming. So that created within them a sense of expectancy. There was a hope, amen, that was created. Not a hope that He would come, but a hope that today be the day that He come. Amen? And so we see that created a sense of expectancy in them and a hope that today would be the day. Psalms chapter 78, verse 7, the Bible says that they might set their hope in God and not forget set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Today, children can hardly wait to open their gifts. I mean, they're excited. Little Rory was over at the house the other night, and boy, she just looked at all those gifts and walking around that Christmas tree and looking at all them packages under the tree and saying, now I get to open up my presents. And she's excited about that. And I'm sure these others are too. And these little ones are all excited. They just can't wait to Christmas Day to open up those packages and see what kind of gifts they're going to get. And so that creates in them a sense of expectancy. They're expecting to get a gift, amen. And they're expecting some things. Maybe the older ones have an idea of maybe what they're going to get. They're expecting maybe a bicycle or maybe they're expecting a remote control car or whatever. But even some of the teenagers today is probably expecting a new car for Christmas. But there's an expectancy there. They're expecting when Christmas comes, they're going to get a gift. They're going to get to unwrap the presents. And at the same time we think about that, they're waiting, they're anticipating that day when they can open up their gifts. And we are, as believers, anticipating. We're waiting for the day and looking for the day that Christ comes. Amen? He's come once in His birth, but He's coming back the second time in the rapture of the church to take us home. And we as believers, listen, we ought to have that hope within us that not hoping that He comes, but hoping that today's the day that He comes. There should be a sense of expectancy about us. If we are expecting Him to come at any minute, at any time, we'll make ready ourselves. We'll be busy about our Father's business, amen, and making our hearts and the minds to be in tune with Him. There should be that expectancy, that hope within every believer. And Christmas time is a time of hope. Amen? And also, it's a time of reflection. As I said already, it's a time that we're coming down to the end of the year. And another year is coming gone almost. And we're fixing to go into a new year, the year of 2020. Talk about good vision. Amen? Hopefully we'll have good vision in the year 2020. But it's a time to reflect. Look back on all the things that took place this past year. Think about all the things that God performed for His children, all the miracles that He worked, all the blessings that He bestowed upon us. It should encourage us, amen, to look back at all the goodness of God and all the times that God intervened, all the times that His grace prevailed and His mercy, amen, His love. And what a mighty God, let me say this morning, that we serve. And we ought to look back at all the things He's done and think about all the things that He's done. And listen, it's no wonder that the Bible says, Luke said in Luke chapter number 1, verse 46 and 47, or Mary said this in the book of Luke, said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And we ought to have that same attitude, amen? looking back and reflecting on all the things that God has done. And we see the things visibly that God has done. But let's think for a moment of all the things that we didn't see that God protected us from. Amen. Well, that's enough there to take a little time out and shout a while. Amen. All the things that God protected us from. All the dangers that He held back from us and protected us and guided our steps so we would miss that accident or we'd miss that explosion or miss that shooting or whatever the case may be. Look at all the things that God kept us from. Amen. We'll think about that for a little while during this Christmas season. It's a time to reflect on the things of God. And also we notice that it's a time to rejoice. This time of the year, it's a time to rejoice. The angels are singing that Christ was born, and that's wonderful, amen. Did Mary rejoice? Absolutely. Luke chapter 1, verse 49. The Bible says, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." She rejoiced of what God had done in her life. We look all throughout the Scripture. We find where the wise men rejoiced when they saw his star. We find that in Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 11. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says there, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Boy, if we're saved this morning, we've got something to rejoice about. Amen? We've got something to be excited about. We ought to take a time to think about all the things that we have to rejoice about. I know some folks at this time of year, it's a time of not rejoicing. People look at all the bad in their life. I think about folks that's had loved ones to pass on, go off the scene, go out into eternity, and that is sad, no doubt it is. But if they're saved, amen, we got something to rejoice about. Amen. We'll see them again one day. And if they wasn't saved, yes, that is sad. But thank you that God has left us here, and we can rejoice to the fact that God's left us here to tell others that they don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. Amen. They can rejoice in that fact, and we can rejoice, magnify the name of the Lord for the great things He's done and what He's going to do. John chapter 14, the Bible says in verse number 28, "If ye loved me, ye would rejoice." Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll rejoice." Amen. If you love Him, we got a reason to rejoice. Not just in His birth, but in His death. Not just in His death, but in His resurrection. Amen. There's plenty of reasons to rejoice over the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being our Savior. Let me read to you in the book of Philippians chapter number 4. If you want to jot this down, you can. I'm going to read it to you. Philippians chapter 4. Give me just a second to flip over there right quick. Philippians chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Remember I said we need to get our hearts and our minds in tune with the Lord? The Bible says we can do that. Amen. So don't be worrying about everything. Give it to God. Amen. Let God deal with it. Let God take care of it. "The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. God of peace shall be with you." Amen. And so we're to rejoice in the goodness of God, the grace of God, the many things that God has blessed us with, and think on the things that are true and honest and pure. At this time of the year, you can think on all the negative and you can be very upset and discouraged, but that's the work of the devil. Amen. Discouragement is not of God, it's of the devil. And he wants to discourage as many of God's people as he can. This ain't the time of the year to be discouraged. I know there's people that get discouraged because they don't have money to buy gifts. As I said, I'll continue to say it's not about the money and it's not about the gift. Amen. Listen, to me, Christmas is just being able to be with my family Amen. And having a meal together. That's Christmas enough for me. Don't have to have no gifts. Don't have to exchange gifts. Although we do. But I'm just thankful that I have a family that loves me. Amen. And I can love them in return. I'm thankful for the grandchildren that the Lord has blessed me with. And the children the Lord's blessed me with. My mother. Amen. Still able to be with us and be at the Christmas dinner and all those things. Lord, I'm telling you, there's so much to be thankful for and to rejoice about. God has been good to His children. And it is the time of rejoicing. Amen. And don't worry about all the negative. Don't focus on the negatives. Focus on the positives and all the great things that God has done and is doing in our lives. We think about churches. I'm reading an article the other day about churches, and so many churches are shutting their doors. And I know one gentleman told me that he was talking to it's a different type of ministry, different denomination, is a Presbyterian church, and said they had one pastor that pastored three churches. And they was trying to put everything together into one church because one church had six people, one church had less, and one church had maybe 10 people. So they're going to combine all three of them and they're going to shut the other two churches down. And those individuals was discouraged because they just couldn't keep the churches going. And I know things like that gets discouraging. Our church is low in number. That gets discouraging, but God continues to pay the bills. Amen. We're not hurting financially. God's blessed and allowed us to keep the lights on. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. We've got something to rejoice about. Don't look on the negatives. Don't look on the things that are down and things that are discouraging. Look on the positives. Amen. Amen. Lights are still on. Hallelujah. The heat's still on. God still allows us to come and worship and to praise Him and to sing the songs of Zion. Amen. And so think on the things that are true and honest and pure and rejoice during this time of year. Let me say this also. It's a time of joy. It's a time that, of course, we all listen to the songs of the season. I don't agree with all those songs at Christmas time, but listen, you turn on 99.5, they play a lot of Christmas songs, and they play a lot of that junk stuff too. I don't agree with that. But we listen to the songs of the season. There's bluegrass gospel Christmas songs, and then there's bluegrass Christmas songs. It's not really gospel. Rudolph is not part of the gospel, amen? Santa Claus is Satan's cause, and that's definitely not part of the gospel. But we listen to the songs of the season and we begin making and buying gifts and things like that. We prepare food, we decorate the houses, as I said, and we share the joy of Christmas. We decorate the church, and some people, you know, they criticize for decorating the church. You shouldn't put a tree in the church. Listen, it's a season of joy, and we do that because the tree reminds us of the everlasting life that we're given in Jesus Christ. Amen? The tree, the evergreen that reminds us of the everlasting life that we've been given in Jesus Christ. The lights, they mean something. The colors, they all mean something. Amen? So we celebrate that joy. The joy that God gave His only begotten Son, amen, to bring sinners to salvation. The joy that Christ is coming again to take His bride home to glory. That's something to rejoice about. And that brings joy to our hearts. John chapter 16, verse 22. The Bible says, "And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Listen, the world can steal our joy. Amen? The world can take our joy. They can get us focused on the things that are negative. They can get us focused on the impeachment of the president and all the Democratic Party and all the political mess that's going on. And the world can cause us to lose our joy. But if we think on the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact of His coming, the fact that He was born, died, rose again, and that He will return, that gives us great joy, and can't nobody take that away from us. Amen? Nobody can steal that joy from us. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 11. The Bible says, "But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee." In a time of Christmas, it's not a time to walk around with our heads down. Amen? It's not a time to walk around with our poochy lips and being all sad and discouraged and despondent and just worried about everything under the sun. That's not the time to do that. It's the time that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Amen? And we tell others that we celebrate that because He was born. And listen, He came to set us free. Amen? So we don't have to be sad. We don't have to be discouraged because we know that He's coming again. Amen? Well, I'm telling you, it's a time to rejoice. It's a time of joy. And it's a time that we celebrate all the things that God has blessed us with and God has done inner life. It's a time to reflect back on all the things that God has done. I believe this morning, if we take a little time to reflect on what God's done, we could spend some time rejoicing. Amen. We might not jump the pews and run the aisles and shout and carry on like some of the charismatics do. But listen, we can still rejoice in the goodness and the grace of God because God has been good. I know myself being on the road traveling, there's been many a time that God's protected and God's blessed and kept us from being in a wreck and kept us so safe. People cut you off going down the road and do stupid things, make crazy moves in those vehicles like there's no tomorrow and they gotta be number one, gotta be the first one in line. There's been many times God's intervened and protected them and me. And He's done the same for you, I'm sure that He has. But it's a time of reflection. It's a time to make some preparation, get our hearts and minds in tune with God. It's a time of hope, amen. It reminds us that Jesus is coming soon. And it's not going to be very long. The time is running out, amen. We know that. We see the seasons. We see what's going on in the world today and things is lining up, getting ready for the Antichrist to come on the scene. We know that according to Scripture. We understand that it's not going to be very long. The scoffers are scoffing at His coming, as Peter said they would. They scoff at His coming, but He's coming, and it's not going to be long at all. Amen. So we need to be thankful of all the things that God has blessed us with, the fact that we are saved. And we need to be busy about our Father's business. There should be joy that's within us, and those that are lost and undone without Christ should see that joy and want what we have. They want to be a part of the church. They want to be a part of something that's real, that's something that stands when everything else falls apart. There's a thing in our day where there's the big ecumenical movement where all these denominations and religions are all coming together. You know what they're doing? They're making preparation for the one world church. And it's going to happen. Amen. It's going to come together. But thankfully, those that are born again, saved by the good grace of God, we won't be here when that takes place. Amen. There's a thing of our day that we see so many people are flocking to the entertainment world, the entertainment in churches, the singing and all the things that goes on in some of these so-called organizations that calls themselves the church. They're drawing a crowd. That crowd is going for the entertainment. They're going for the excitement. Friend, one of these days that excitement, that entertainment is going to wear off. Amen. But there's something about being real and being true to God that you have joy that's unspeakable, a peace that passes understanding the Bible talks about. Amen. We have that and we're able to rejoice in that fact during the time of Christmas. It's also at Christmas time, I've mentioned this briefly, but it's a time of lights. And we put lights on the Christmas tree, put lights on our houses. And some people even have candlelight services. I don't really do that because the Roman Catholic do that. And I don't do that because I'm not Catholic. But it's a time that people light candles and put candles in their windows and things like that during Christmas time. But the lights at Christmas should remind us that there was one light that shined in darkness. Amen. And that was Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. Listen, it's a time that we should think about all the things that God has done for us. Think about our salvation. But also remember it's a time to be looking forward to Christ is coming. Songwriter wrote a song, and this is how he pinned it down. It said, just suppose God searched through heaven, couldn't find one willing to be or worthy to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed that would buy eternal life for you and me. Now just suppose that. I don't think you have to suppose that because the Scripture says that He searched through heaven. Is there one worthy to open the book? And there was none worthy. But here the songwriter said, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad He was willing to drink His bitter cup, although He prayed, Father, let it pass for me. I'm so glad He never called heaven's angels from these hands, pull these nails that torment me. Then again, the course goes, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for the man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. During this time of Christmas, we have a reason to rejoice. Amen. There's a reason to be excited about the things of God. God has been good. God's blessed our homes. He's blessed our families. I know there's many folks that have wayward children. Have some that's out in sin, and that's discouraging during this time of the year. But thankful for those that are not out in sin. Amen. Think on the things that are true, the things that are honest, and the things that are pure. And it's the time of year that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. And think about the fact that He's coming again. What a wonderful privilege that is. And get our hearts and minds in tune with God. I preached this on Thursday night. Now, I want to just reiterate again this morning on how important it is to get our hearts right. Our hearts need to be in tune with God. Take heed, the Scripture says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. It is possible that the believer can get so wrapped up in the cares of this life, and we neglect to rejoice, we neglect to think on the things of God, and our hearts get out of tune with God. But what a sad place that is for our hearts to be out of tune with God. That means we're out of fellowship, amen? That there's things that's going on in our life that shouldn't be there. Things has gotten in the way. The cares of this life have drawn us away and enticed us and pulled us away from the Lord. Our hearts, as the Scripture says, are overcharged. And these things have drawn us away. And that day would come upon us and we'd be unaware. Amen? The Bible also says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." And so, as we think about this time of Christmas, let's get our hearts in tune with Him. Make sure that the cares of life has not drawn us away to where our hearts is out of tune with God. And our hearts in tune with Him. And our minds also. Colossians 3:12, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering." We're to put all these things on as the elect children of God. Amen. That others may see us and see what's going on in our life and realize there's something missing in them. Can't see that though if our minds are not in tune with God. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Put everybody else before us and get our hearts and minds in tune with Him. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Our lives should reflect Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15, "The day He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." It's not all about us. Amen. It's not about us. We're not to live for ourselves, but we're to live our life before others. They see Christ in us and realize that He also died for them. They can too also accept Christ as their Savior. Galatians chapter 5 verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Psalms 146 verse 2, "While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." Whenever that day comes and our name is called and our number's called, we no longer have an opportunity to praise Him. Amen. So we ought to do it while we have opportunity. Well, what a perfect time of year to praise the Lord during the Christmas time, during this season. "So as you therefore receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Let our lives reflect Him. Let our hearts and minds be in tune with Him as we make preparation for Christmas. We think about to getting ready, getting prepared, getting the tree up, getting the presents bought. But what about our hearts and minds? What about our lives? Did we fight somebody in the line at Christmas? Did we go to Walmart, try to buy something and fight somebody, get mad because they got in front of somebody? Well, that doesn't reflect Christ, amen? No part of that reflects Christ. We should allow them to get that last gift off the shelf if that's what they want, amen? We ought to allow them to go in front of us if they want to be first. Sometimes I'd rather have people in front of me anyway than have them behind me, amen? Our lives should reflect Christ, and it should reflect the true born-again child of God. What a time it is during the Christmas season to reflect on these things. I hope this is a help to you this morning. I know it's kind of short, but listen, this season of Christmas is a time that we set aside all those other things, the things of discouragement, the things that are weighing on us, the things that weigh us down. Put that stuff aside and think on the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God, the fact that we are born again children of God, and let our lives so reflect that. Let it show that to others. And be good to folks during the Christmas season and try to be an encouragement, a blessing to them. And some people say, "Well, preacher, I don't have any money to give at Christmas time." You don't have to give money. The greatest thing that's ever given was Jesus Christ. Amen. Share that with them. Amen. "Well, preacher, I know some people that are saved, but yet they're going through a hard time." Well, you share with them that this ain't the end. Amen. You encourage them, be a blessing to them that Jesus Christ is coming. This ain't the end. Amen. That's encouraging too. And to try to help lift up their spirits and be a blessing to them. And share with them the good word of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. And always share with them the word of God. God's word is always encouraging. And try to be a help and a blessing to those around us. Amen. I hope this is a help to you this morning. I do appreciate your attention. Appreciate you being in the house of God. I know they're a little distracting this morning, but that's all good. Amen. Appreciate the Lord just meeting with us and just sharing some thoughts with us. Hope this is a help to you. Remember that we're to be a blessing to those around us, and we're to exemplify Christ and celebrate not just His birth. Many people leave Him in the manger. It is good to talk about His birth. It's good to celebrate that, but don't leave Him in the manger. Amen. The Catholics like to leave Him on the cross. That's why they have the crucifixion. They like to leave Him on the cross, but that's not where He's at. Amen. And He was buried, rose again, sitting on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and I. Boy, that's enough to rejoice on right there. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege You've